This is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks, and we're going back to the book of Revelation. We are now at Revelation chapter 10, verse 1. I'm reading to you from the American Standard Version. And I saw another strong angel coming down out of heaven, arrayed with a cloud, and the rainbow was upon his head. And his face was as the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left upon the earth. And he cried with a great voice, as a lion roars. And when he cried, the seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, "Seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not." And the angel that I saw standing upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his right hand to heaven and swore by him that lives forever and ever, who created the heaven and the things that are therein, and the earth and the things that are therein, and the sea and the things that are therein, that there shall be delay no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, then is finished the mystery of God, according to the good tidings which he declared to his servants, the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven, I heard it again speaking with me and saying, "Go, take the book which is open in the hand of the angel that stands upon the sea and upon the earth." And I went unto the angel, saying unto him that he should give me the little book. And he saith unto me, "Take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but in thy mouth it shall be sweet as honey." And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And when I had eaten it, my belly was made bitter. And they say unto me, "Thou must prophesy again over many peoples and nations and tongues and kings." In my studies of the book of Revelation, I have used the Bible, of course, a lifetime of learning things pertaining to Israel, the numerical Bible with commentaries by Grant and Rideout, the companion Bible with commentary by Bullinger, the writings of Clarence Larkin, and of course, those of Dr. Hilton Sutton. The teachings of no man are entirely accurate. None of us know it all. We see through a glass darkly. When I study, I find that I agree with some and disagree with some of the commentaries of each one of these people. For instance, with Dr. Sutton, with whom I agree on many things, I believe that the church is the bride of Christ, and he sees the city of Jerusalem as the bride. We will examine those things when we get to those chapters. But I just want to say to you that I pick and choose from all of these sources, and I'm not sure about some things. Brother Hagin said when he would talk about the pre-Adamic civilization, which he believed, he said, "I'm not dogmatic about it. I'm not even pupmatic about it. But this is what I believe." So when we go into the book of Revelation, I'll say, this is more, I kind of believe this, but I wouldn't stake my life on it. But we are to look into this book. And as we go, Revelation is progressive. We see things, for instance, that Clarence Larkin did not see, that Rideout and Bullinger and Grant did not see, because they didn't live when Israel was coming back home. But they did see that they were coming. So, having said that, I find myself at least seeing how those who believe that this strong angel, I'm agreeing with those who believe that this strong angel could be the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah. And several of them do believe that way. We see here in Revelation 10:1, "And I saw another strong angel coming out of the heaven, arrayed with a cloud, and the rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire." We don't see any other place in the Bible that an angel is described in exactly the way and with the power and force and the things that are said about him. In the descent of the strong angel from heaven, the numerical Bible writes, no descent of this kind has been seen before. He was clothed with a cloud. A veil was about him, which would seem to indicate a mystery, either as to his person or his ways. It does not say the cloud that guided them in the wilderness. It says a cloud. It is Christ acting as Jehovah. Now, this is what the numerical Bible believes, and I tend to agree with them. It is Christ, the Anointed One, acting as Jehovah, though yet personally hidden, and in behalf of Israel, among whom the angel of Jehovah walked. He is there, and in a form that intimates his remembrance of the covenant of old, and on his part, some correspondent action. The first mention of covenant in the Bible, the very first time the word covenant is mentioned, is in connection with the rainbow. And this covenant was with earth, and it was with mankind. The law of first mention tells us that when something is mentioned first, it always carries that foundational meaning with it. So in Genesis, we see here this angel, and it says of him, he's arrayed with a cloud, mystery, little hidden to us yet, and the rainbow, was upon his head. Now we're going back to when the rainbow came, the covenant, the very first. You see, this shows us that covenant is before God. The rainbow is before the throne of God. It is surrounding the throne. It encircles his head. So here we come with the angel, the strong angel, and he also has the rainbow upon his head. Genesis 6:18 is the first mention of covenant in the Bible, and it is connected with the rainbow. "But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you." That was Noah, of course. "Behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you. I will establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there ever be a flood to destroy the earth and make it corrupt." And God said, "This is the token of the covenant which I am making between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a token or a sign of a covenant or solemn pledge between me and the earth." God keeps this covenant ever before him as it surrounds his throne, and he remembers his covenants forever. Now we are coming to, says the numerical Bible, we are coming to the little book opened. And the numerical Bible believes, and I do, that this little book opened. It's not sealed like the seven seals were upon the scroll. It's opened. We are now coming to, the numerical Bible says, to what is completely within the field of Old Testament prophecy. The little book in the angel's hand is opened, not needing to be opened. It is comparatively small in scope, as Old Testament prophecy, compared with the larger range of the book of Revelation itself, necessarily is so. The visions that follow here in this chapter with the angel, the strong angel, and beginning here, the visions that follow here are the filling up of Old Testament prophecy outlines. Jesus said in Matthew 5:18, For I truly tell you, until the sky and earth pass away and perish, not one smallest letter, nor one little hook, identifying certain Hebrew letters, will pass from the law until all it foreshadows are accomplished. That's the Amplified Translation. King James says, not a jot nor a tittle. And so all the Old Testament prophecies have to be fulfilled. And we come here to the little book opened when the little book of the Old Testament prophecies shall be opened unto us, and we shall see their fulfillment. The characteristic of Old Testament prophecy, the numerical Bible writes, is just this, that it opens to us the earthly, not the heavenly things. Its promises are Israel's, the earthly people. After all, the rainbow was a token to earth. And God is going to restore earth, and he will restore the Israelites, the earthly people. Romans 9:4 speaks of Paul's relatives who are Israelites, whose is the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. Old Testament prophecy deals fully with the millennial kingdom and the convulsions which are its birth throes, its birth pangs, beyond the millennium, except a brief reference to the new heavens and the new earth. Old Testament prophecy does not go. And the new heavens are not the subject here in Revelation 10. Thus, the book of Old Testament prophecy is compared with the New Testament prophecies and with the book of Revelation, a little book. That little book was sealed with Daniel. But now we see that little book opened. Earthly, earth itself and earthly things may be and are symbols of heaven and the heavenly, writes the numerical Bible. The summer reviving out of winter speaks of resurrection. The very food we feed on preaches life through death. And so more evidently, the Old Testament for Revelation, completing the cycle of the divine testimony, brings us back to paradise as a type of a better one and the latest unfolding of what had been for ages hidden. And we see in Adam and Eve, Christ and the church. The Old Testament prophecy as to the earth has been a long time waiting for that fulfillment, which shall manifest and illumine it. Israel, long scattered in the earth, has long waited for her return to the promised land, her restoration, her redemption. Thank God we are seeing those covenant promises of God being fulfilled before our eyes. This is Billy Brim at Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. You can contact us at 1-800-972-3447. Or you can go online to billybrim.org, billybrim.org, and you can begin with us. We began in July, I think it was the 16th, with our first session on the book of Revelation. And we shall be back tomorrow looking at the 10th chapter of this wonderful Revelation.